Well, hey, my friends, welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today. Hope you guys are staying strong and healthy as always. And I hope you guys enjoyed the shows the last 2 days. Dad and I had to run up on a trip. I had to have some ankle maintenance done, which is always fun. Previous injuries. A real good doctor of ours up in the north that does a lot of good holistic work. And got me back right again. And we're back on this show, ready to rock and roll with a whole lot of news stories for you guys to cover. And be sure to check out the vitamin C. It got updated yesterday as product of the week while I was gone. The formula, the Immune Antioxidant Support Excellent C formula, one of our best formulas we have, on sale for over 16% off. So be sure to check that out at teamhealthmasters.com. And also, too, be sure to check out the podcast platform, browershow.com. We got the shows every single day coming right to your inbox. Just sign up on the update click box at the top. Put your name, email, Brower Show, and Health Masters, and we'll have them sent directly to your email every single day. So hope you guys are enjoying that today. Hope you guys are staying strong. And how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great. We flew to St. Louis, so we're kind of like a little, I can't say jet lag, but a little probably.
It's a fast trip.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I miss not having my own plane. The problem is when you have a Cessna, like a 210 like I had, you know, you got to really watch the weather. And yesterday, the weather would not have worked leaving the state of Florida on my small aircraft. Now, when I got to St. Louis, it had been perfect.
Yeah.
It was beautiful up there. It was cold and clear and pretty much no wind.
Well, then the issue I ran into, and it made it so much easier, is that 210, about the cost of fuel is what it cost as far as a couple plane tickets. Now, they've gotten so stinking expensive. Flight, I mean, it was crazy, some of the price for the flights. I mean, there's one flight we were walking past. They had oversold it 15 seats.
Yeah, they didn't.
I don't even know how you do that. I mean, how do you oversell a flight 16 seats, 15, 16 seats?
Well, what they do, they have an algorithm that AI is running through American now. And they say, and what they do is, let's say there's 200 seats. Let's say that 30 people normally don't show up or 20 people don't show up.
They're now predicting they
predict it and they oversell it. The problem is when it's spring break, everybody shows up, then that people get bounced off of flights.
You know how mad you'd be? Mm-hmm. You schedule something, you know, 6 months in advance to take your family to Florida. Because we had to Orlando to Miami to St. Louis. It wasn't even a good shot there. So we ended up in Miami during spring break. That was fun at the airport.
No, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. But I had to get up there and get some maintenance done on the ankle. So it's doing great again.
Oh, by the way, this morning I did a show. I'm not going to mention any names on who I did it with. And they took some callers.
Yeah.
Now, you guys know we really don't take callers anymore. Now, we used to many years ago. But what happens when we take callers, my whole switchboard lit up. We'd have as many callers as we had lines available through the AI system that we were using. It wasn't AI back then. But it's just, and then what happens, we can't do the show because the whole show is just talking to you guys. So don't get me wrong. I love doing that. The problem is I don't like cutting people off in the middle of a conversation with them. And sometimes they want to go 20 or 30 minutes and basically just go.
And let me say this. For some people, not all, most, all listeners are always cool, but some people have zero radio etiquette at all, as you were just saying. They get on the phone and they get on a call, and all of a sudden they think they're like God's gift to humanity, and they want to take over the entire show for 15 minutes and tell us all the stuff that we need to do on our show. That gets old real fast.
Well, and this morning this lady called me up and had a real sweet voice. I don't know who she was, but she seemed like a nice lady. And then she started telling me basically that I was an anti-Semite and I had hate in my heart because I wasn't going to support Israel. And I told her, I said, look, and I'm going to paraphrase it. I said, here's the deal. I didn't let her finish. I talked over her, which I don't like doing at all because it's extremely rude on both sides. And I just told her, I said, I'm not going to let any dual citizen from another country tell me what to do.
It's nothing about hate.
No. And I said, I pray for Israel all the time. I pray that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I said, but the Scofield Reference Bible has basically brainwashed the baby boomers into believing that we have to do everything they tell us to do. And I'll be honest with you guys. I never thought it was that absolute with some people, but it is. There's no way that you can talk to some people about any of this stuff, even the truth about what's going on, and they won't do it. I mean, you know, look at Trump the other day. His defense guy basically came in and said it's Israel who's basically blackmailing Trump.
Yeah.
And it basically is doing this and got us in the war. And now all the media outlets are slamming him. And the funny thing is, I listened to three or four of these talking heads. One of the guys is like a China guy out of California, some unbelievably hardcore liberal, and he's again supporting Israel. And so they mentioned what he said about Israel. He doesn't even bring that up. He starts talking about how much he doesn't like this guy. Doesn't even bring up anything that he said about Israel and Trump. And that's the talking head that you see. Now, Megyn Kelly and Mark Levin, who I don't care for, she's calling him a micro penis. I'm quoting her now. I don't really talk like that on the show. And they're going at each other. And then Trump's basically staying on Levin's side because Megyn Kelly now is supporting Candace Owens, you know, and talking about Charlie Kirk and also talking, you know, good things about the guys that are anti-war. And the sad part about it is the media doesn't want you to do that. Because remember, you know, Mankow taught me this long time ago. He said that you can get really big on radio, you can get really big on TV, but you've got to be partisan. You've got to be far right or you got to be far left. And they'll put you out there because you divide everybody. He says what they don't want you to do is going down the middle and basically criticizing both sides of the aisle and what they're doing and how they're controlling things. He says, because remember, and this morning another caller called in with a guy that I was on with and said that, you know, Biden's whole cabinet was Zionist. Trump's is pretty much all Zionist. And so the Zionists are controlling both sides of the aisle, whether we want to believe that or not. And it has nothing to do with dual anything as far as loyalties. What it has to do is, what's the end objective? The end objective is to have a one-world government out of Tel Aviv. Just thought I'd mention that to you. And have these people control the planet because they control the money through a one-world digital currency in which, if you don't take the COVID shot, they freeze your bank accounts. We had a friend of ours that we talked to this past weekend, and he was an amazing guy, and he was involved directly with what was going on, you know, with COVID years ago. And he told me that he got sued by the government, had a $500 billion lien put on him. $500 billion. And he said that they sent him a box in the middle of all this filled with all kinds of paraphernalia about Kabbalah and all the rest, and told him that if he joined them, everything would be dropped. Did he not say that, Austin?
Pretty much verbatim.
And he said, I'm not doing this because that's going to put yourself under Lucifer. And this is what how so many of the Hollywood stars have done. And this is what so many of the musicians have done. And they signed a pact with the devil, basically. And then Lucifer promotes them. Because remember, Lucifer controls the world governments, except for maybe somebody like Iran or like Syria, like it was when they don't have a central bank. You know, Putin has a Russian central. The Russian central bank is controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel. It has been for over 100 years. And so you have to understand that we're on a world stage, like we talked about in Angel Wars, in which we're basically in a theater show. And we're watching the world go by with all these different people doing all these crazy things. And the sad part about it is most people don't realize that. And so they want to take and be partisan. Well, the Republicans are doing this, or the Zionists are doing this, or we as Christians have to support Israel. No, we don't. We can pray for Israel that every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. You go over there, you try to proselytize, you will be beaten by the police and thrown in jail. I'm letting you know that right now, so don't do that. You'll find out real quick you can't do that. Years ago, I was in Israel. Austin was with me. And we hired a tour guide, and he was running around showing us everything. And there was a Hasidic Jew walking around, and I took a picture of him. And you talk about this guy going berserk. It was unbelievable. He got so angry that I actually took a photograph of him because they don't like you doing that. And I thought to myself, that's so odd. I mean, he was threatening me and shaking his fist at me and all this. I kind of just laughed at him. And I thought to myself, boy, this guy's aggressive. He must have some kind of backing behind him, and that would be the police. Just thought I'd mention that. And the sad part about it is if you go over there and you start to proselytize, they warn you as a missionary not to do that. In other words, John Hagee said that the Jews don't even need Jesus in his last book. I thought, listen, they have a special dispensation, so to speak, in which they don't have to have Jesus to get saved. Well, I got news for you, John Hagee. You're wrong. My Bible tells me that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they will have to submit to God and submit to Jesus. And for you to say that is blasphemy as far as I'm concerned. But because you're pro-Israel, you want to believe all that stuff. And now, if they still had the sacrifice in the temples and all the other things that are going on, you say, you could maybe argue that point. They don't do any of that. Okay? But the reality is that Jesus came and fulfilled their prophecy as their Messiah. And many of them recognized him and became Christians, and many of them did not. They remained under the guise of Lucifer, as Austin has quoted so many times in the book of John, that you are the children of the devil. So remember that. You got two types of Jews in Israel. you got the Jews that are basically the Khazarians out of Europe that basically have no Abrahamic blood in them, in most cases. And you got the Sephardic Jews that have basically the blood of Abraham, and they've been there for a long time, and they still follow the Torah, but they're very, very small, very small minority. And John Moore told me this morning, Austin, that he was saying that a lot of the people basically in Israel who got the COVID shot, the Sephardic Jews, got the real shot, the bad shot, the kill shot, the clot shot, and the other ones did not. They took a placebo. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. You know, John's pretty well read. He does a lot of research. But the reality is that this is about world dominion and running the entire planet. That's what this is. It's this about is about submission. One world government, about submission.
It is. And this is why I was so proud of basically Kent. And this is why they're coming down so hard on him. You know, if most people have done any research on Joe Kent, you know, he was just the director of the National Counterterrorism Center. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about this guy is extremely well versed. He did 11 combat tours, basically he was Gold Star. And he wrote this letter, and I'm going to read part of it to you, so I put it on the site. It says, after much reflection, I've decided to resign my position as director of National Counterterrorism Center effective today. I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Listen to this. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation. It's clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. This is the director of National Counterterrorism Center. I mean, this guy worked for GRS, too, which is CIA's contracting agency. This guy wasn't some clown they put in position and they had no idea. This man has seen significant amount of combat. And he goes, I support the values and foreign policies that you campaigned on 16 and 2020, which you enacted in your first term. He goes, until June 2025, you understood that wars in the Middle East were a trap that robbed America of the precious lives of our patriots and depleted the wealth and prosperity of a nation. In your first administration, you understood better than any modern president, however, to decisively apply military power without getting drawn into never-ending wars. Now, this is when you guys, this is when he really pulls the curtain back. And this, I got to commend him for this. And this is why he's getting so much flack. He goes, early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your American First platform and sowed pro-war sentiment to encourage war with Iran. These echo chambers were used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States, and should you strike now, there'd be a clear path to a swift victory. This was a complete lie. It is the same tactic the Israelis used to draw us in the disastrous Iraq war that cost our nation the lives of thousands of our best women. We cannot make this state again. As a veteran who's deployed to combat 11 times and a Gold Star husband who also lost my beloved wife Shannon in a war manufactured by Israel, I cannot support sending the next generation off to fight and die in a war that serves no benefit to the American people nor justifies the cost of American lives. Look at his last statement he says here. I pray that you will reflect upon this, what you were doing in Iran, who you are doing it for.
There you go.
The bold action is now you can reverse course and chart a new path for our nation, or you can allow us to slip further toward decline and chaos. You hold the cards. It was an honor to serve your administration and serve our great country. Joseph Kent.
I love this guy.
I mean, he can't be any more drunk. No. That was professional as a guy, basically saying that Israel's running our country and Israel's running you, Donald Trump. I'm not going to be any part of it.
Well, they are.
11 combat tours.
You got to remember, we talked to a friend of ours this past weekend.
Yeah.
And he was working with the Saudi Arabia royal family.
Yeah.
Listen to me. And he'd been over there for almost a year and a half working, setting up clinics.
This is legit, dude. This isn't hearsay. This is directly from him. I know he's involved.
His mouth to our ears, you know. And he told us, he said that the royal family was directly involved with Jeffrey Epstein and the trafficking of girls. And that they knew that. And they sent him home 6 months ago because they don't want to get him involved in the middle of this mess if it comes out about them. Just like the royal family in England. This thing is so pervasive. We have a group of people out there that are so perverse and so messed up and following the ancient Canaanite religions. And we talked about this, you know, in Angel Wars. You know, let me put this. I'm going to read you this. The people who have been murdering children for 4,000 years know the exposure is coming. The Epstein files. What? The dominoes are falling, and the scale of what they've done is so monstrous that full disclosure collapses every government, every bank, every intelligence agency, every church that looked the other way. There's no soft landing, so they built a hard one underground with your money. They intend to start a nuclear war, which I don't buy that. They intend to burn the surface clean of every human being who's not with them. I don't believe that. They intend to emerge from the ashes and install their wizard king. That's probably true. Their false god, the entity the Bible calls the Antichrist, on a throne built from the rubble of civilization that they destroy. Look at Gaza. The Antichrist does not rise from a functioning world. He rises from the wreckage of one. The destruction is not a side effect. The destruction is the altar. The nuclear fire is the offering. I disagree with that. 7 billion people may be the sacrifice. But God's not sitting this out. Revelation 11:18, the nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, that you should destroy those who destroy the earth. God sends his angels to destroy those who destroy the earth. Not a suggestion. It's an operational briefing. God is going to stop these people. The question is whether he has to do it himself or whether the people he created will stand up and do it first. That is what at this moment is right now. This is God giving you a chance. Listen to me, Christians, including Zionists. Not giving you a show to watch, not giving you a doom to scroll, a chance to see what is happening and refuse to be silent, the chance to stop worshiping the altar of pop culture and your iPhone and constant scrolling and start acting like the soldiers of God you were baptized to be. Because here's what terrifies me more than the cult, more than the bunkers, that more of a nuclear endgame. What terrifies me is that the good people are going to stand there and do nothing. The evidence that the ruling elite are raping, murdering, and eating children in satanic rituals is sitting in federal archives, the ones that haven't deleted yet, and on Getty Images and in WikiLeaks database and in the credits of every film shot in a city named after a Juan, which is Hollywood. And the average America's response is to keep doom scrolling, keep staring at the phone, keep shopping, keep looking at Kim Kardashian's buttocks, I'm adding that, keep binge watching, keep paying the cult for the privilege of being hypnotized by it and going to the movies and paying for theater shows. The first time God saw evil at this scale, he sent the flood. Second time is fire. 2 Peter 3:7, the supposed good people on this planet are standing in a burning building arguing about their phone bills while children scream in the basement. Did you hear that? Why don't you play that one back? God is watching. He's been watching. At some point, if we don't act, he will, and his version of acting makes a nuclear war look like a bottle rocket. He's right. And see, that's the thing that bothers me so much with these Zionists. They want to have Armageddon. They want to have the destruction of the planet. They want to bring in their Antichrist for only one reason, Austin. They want to get raptured. How many people got raptured out of Gaza? I'm playing the music. Da, da, da. Okay. How many people got raptured out of Tehran? How many people got raptured out of China with the Communist Revolution? How many people got raptured out of Syria? I'm just asking you. This is all nonsense that brought in dispensationalism with the Scofield Bible to give Israel a chance to do what Israel wants to do, and that is worship Lucifer at the highest level. Not all of them. Some of the Jews are good people. But the leadership of Israel, like Benjamin Netanyahu and Henry Kissinger, who was responsible for killing millions of people in Southeast Asia, all these people are nutbags, the ones that worship Lucifer and practice Kabbalah, the Shabbat group primarily. We got to realize what they believe and what they want to do to the planet. They want to sit up in the heavenly grandstands. They want us to believe that we're going to, and applaud while all hell breaks loose here and God's wrath comes down and the Antichrist emerges. That's what they think we're going to have happen to us. Guys, listen to me. I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Okay, I don't believe in any of this stuff. This is all put through by the Scofield Reference Bible. And the sad part about it is if we stand here and believe this nonsense, we're going to find ourselves caught up in the very essence of what's going wrong with the country and with the world right now. They don't want you to know what's in those Epstein files. They will take us to a world war to prevent them from being released. And then at the end of the world war, they will decide that nobody will care anymore about the Epstein files, Austin, because you'll be concerned about what you get to eat for breakfast.
That's exactly right. And that's why, I mean, why do you think, and I covered it earlier this week on the show, while we have millions and millions and millions of children under the age of five now across the entire country, that we're spending billions of dollars on a psychiatric medication.
That's right.
I went into detail on this, all the way from Xanax to Prozac to Adderall. I mean, it's in a huge age bracket from zero to five. I went into detail on this. They want people to constantly be wrapped up in all these other micro problems that constantly build up to a large, bigger scale issue that is so conflicting, that's so confusing that nobody can figure out what to do with it. So everybody just continues to let everything go by passively, like you just said. Mm-hmm. All evil needs to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Mm-hmm. That's always how it's been. people just sit back and go, oh, hody home. I'm just going to sit around and I'm going to pretend nothing's happening. And I've told you guys before, what can we physically do to go over and stop warships in Iran? Absolutely nothing. That's a conflict that is a moot point that the United States civilians cannot physically be involved in. So what do you do from there? That's what I've told you guys repeatedly. You start focusing on the things you can change. You start focusing on what you read every single day. You start focusing on what you think about every single day. So a man think about in his heart, so is he. And this is what happens. I had a good friend of mine last night, Dexter, and he was talking to me about how much better and more positive he's been and how all the stuff he's been doing is starting to line up. And he goes, you know, he was, before I started hanging out with you all the time, he's like, I was constantly negative. I was constantly putting myself down. He goes, you notice now I don't say anything negative about myself anymore? I said, I know, at all. He goes, I used to all the time, always putting everything down all the time in my life. And I said, yeah. And I said, how'd it work out for you? He goes, horrible. And he said, that's the problem. He goes, you start hanging around certain people, and he had certain family members that were the same way. And I said, what happens is it's very easy to get into that rhythm of constantly being negative. Oh, this is horrible for this. This is bad. I don't have any money. You speak that all the time. Remember, your brain doesn't understand joking. This is why if you're in a relationship with somebody, you can't keep sitting there and putting down, oh, you're so stupid. Oh, you're such a dummy. I've seen around relationships like that.
Never last.
And they never last. Because what happens is, you remember, if you get in a direct conflict, say you're walking down the street, and somebody walks up to you and says, you're stupid, I'm getting a fight with you. Your brain at no point takes reality from what they're saying to you, because now you're in a direct conflict. If they called you dumb, you don't even think about it later. I really don't care. It does not affect me one bit. I'm in a direct conflict. When you get close to someone, when you're comfortable with someone, when you trust someone, when you want to be with someone, when you want to basically do everything with that person, like a relationship with a spouse or a girlfriend, when they start putting you down, your brain is relaxed. It's not in this fight or flight situation. So when they're constantly telling you you're stupid or you're broke or you're dumb or whatever stupid things you start hearing some of these people say to one another, the brain takes it as truth because it trusts that individual. That's the person you want to be with. So your brain starts thinking, well, maybe I am dumb. Maybe I am broke. And that's why you see this constantly all the time. This also happens to kids. Do not put your kids down. They do not understand it. I've been around parents before where they're constantly putting little quibs against their kids. Oh, you're so stupid. Can't believe you didn't figure that out. You have no idea from a psychological standpoint how detrimental that is to a young kid to sit there and put them down verbally, especially in public, over and over and over again. You want to single-handedly ruin that child's self-esteem. Keep putting them down in public and see what happens to them. And then you wonder why in the world psychiatrists want to put these kids on anti-anxiety drugs and basically antidepressant drugs.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's good teaching, Austin. But I'll say one thing, too, about this, and this is really important. When your kids become 13, 14, 15 years old, they start getting to the point where they're not in a theta brainwave state anymore. If they're running out doing drugs, if they're running out getting drunk, if they're hanging out with the wrong people, you got to call
them. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a different topic. Okay. That's a different topic.
You got to call them out for it. Okay, but he's right. When they're little, it's no matter what they do, it's great. Well, no, because if they throw a ball and it doesn't get to first base, you say, that was a great throw. Next time, let's try to get to first base.
There you go.
Build them up. Okay, but once they get to the point, because I've seen this happen over and over and over again, I had one of my relatives, okay, had a kid, 14 years old, went up to Duke University. Kid was brilliant for like a week to take some kind of special class they were offering him because he was like a National Merit Scholarship recipient. The kid was brilliant, Mensa's kid, genius. And he got up there, got on drugs. And at that point in time, his father constantly reinforced everything he did, including he became tatted up. One nipple said wine, one nipple said beer. I saw it, okay? He had his hair spiked, wearing spikes, lied about everything. His father still encouraged him. He finally died of a heroin overdose.
Yeah.
And his father still to this day thinks he was murdered. And the kid had thousands of needle marks on him, tracks. He'd been a 20-year heroin user. The sad part about it is you can't be that parent either. You got to call it out for what it is. And then that child's got to make a choice. They got to either clean it up or not clean it up. But you can't reinforce it and say, you're great when you're getting drunk every night. That's
and
not
you
okay.
You do not have to enable it either. I've seen so many times with parents that basically they keep funding their kids and doing all this stuff. And like you said, they ignore it. Oh, it's not a big deal. They'll grow out of it. Like they're 26 and hooked on OxyContin. They're not growing out of it. Hmm. This problem they got to address.
And sometimes you got to get some help psychologically. You got to go to a Christian counselor.
Yeah.
Don't go to a Jewish secular psychiatrist.
That's a fact.
And I'm not picking on
because they're going to put you on this stuff.
They're
going
to put you right here. That's okay? Exactly because right. They control the American Pediatric Association. Just remember that. And they're going to vote for this stuff, and now they're coming after Kennedy with both feet.
Oh, gosh.
They're trying to shut him down because they realize that he's telling the truth about drugs. Remember,
I'm going to cover that.
Remember, it says in Revelation it's through pharmakia they control the nations. It says that in the book of Revelation. I'll pull it up for you in a second. And through drugs. Now, how do you think they got mass ritual sacrifice going and people volunteered to be sacrificed? They were drugged. And they controlled the nations through that. And they had mass hysteria going through it. So you got to be really, really careful on who you hang out with and what you talk about. But when you have top people like we met this week who basically were given a box of Kabbalah literature and said, you know, follow us and we'll take care of all of your problems and we'll make you wealthy beyond belief.
Man, all these issues will go away.
And then a presidential edict came in. He had hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people on his Facebook erased.
Done.
And he went back to get it reinstated when the court case was over. When they said, "You don't understand. The White House has blocked this. We can't do anything."
Yeah, you're blocked with a potential lien. So he can't get loans anymore.
$500 billion lien. And then he said that
potential. So it's pending potential lien that's not a lien.
Which means it'll never go away.
And that's they did. And I did not even know this until I talked to him and I verified it with a guy that I knew last night as well. What happens is if you get on the bad side of the DOJ, they can put in a federal lien, a potential federal lien, meaning it's not there, but it's potentially going to be there. So it goes in this really weird gray limbo phase.
Never goes away.
Where you can't get it expunged off your record because it's not there, but you can't get a loan because it's potentially there. And so it puts you literally in a black box with the bankers. They won't touch you. Mm-hmm. You are forbidden to touch.
He had an 820 beacon score. He has a 500 beacon score now, and he says there's nothing he can do to fix it. He's tried.
It doesn't. You can't.
And
you
presidential edict from the Biden White House.
You can't even file Chapter 7 bankruptcy on it because the lien doesn't exist. The loan, the write off. It's a potential lien that's possibly going to go on in the future. So it's like this big black cloud that just floats over you.
It's like a DUI. It never
it's
comes
worse off. Than a DUI.
Well, the DUI. No, this is the same analogy.
Yeah.
The DUI never comes off your driver's
75
license.
Years.
Okay. It never comes off. You're going to be dead first, right? So you get a DUI. That's why I said to you before, and I'm going to say it again. If you drive and drink, which you should not do, period, ever, then what you do is you don't say anything and you ask for your attorney if you're stopped. That's my opinion.
They ask you to do a field sobriety or breathalyzer. I do not feel comfortable doing this without my attorney present. I would be happy to do it. I just had my attorney present with me. That's it. And then you're going to go to jail. You're going to go to jail.
And you're going to get administrative revocation, refusal to use a breathalyzer.
Yep.
But chances are they won't have the evidence to basically support a DUI as far as under the influence. I had one of your friends do that one time.
Yeah. Years ago.
No, 20 college. Years ago. No, about 20 years ago. He was on the back porch, and he was. They were going out getting drunk. And I looked at him. I said, dude, don't do that. And driving. And I think he was 18 or 19 or 20 years old. And I remember he called me, and I told him the same thing I just told you. He called me back about a year later and said, Dr. Brewer, I want to thank you. He goes, I got stopped for a DUI, and I got a basically administrative revocation of my license. I don't have a DUI on my record.
Yeah.
And he goes, it was because you told me just shut my attorney and shut up.
Shut up.
And I did. And you were right. Now, you could do. I'm not giving you legal advice. Do what you want to do. Tell you. I'll talk to your attorney about it. But I can say one thing, and I know, you know, because my Joss's younger brother is a prosecuting attorney. He's a district attorney. He said that the easiest way to get somebody convicted is because they run their mouth on camera.
And give them evidence. They just build evidence the whole time.
But by the way, here's an interesting article by Chuck Baldwin. I haven't quoted Chuck in a while. The U.S. is being driven out of the Middle East. Iran is demolishing Israel. And Hegseth is a war criminal. Is Netanyahu dead? This is an interesting article. It only took Donald Trump 1 year to show the world the depth of his malignant narcissism, total servitude to Benjamin Netanyahu, and unfitness for office. It's not about whether people were justified in supporting Trump over Kamala Harris or the presidential elections. After any candidate elected president, the election is over and governance begins. The problem with both Republicans and Democrats is that because they voted for their respective candidates, they feel some type of holy compulsion to support that candidate, then president for the next 4 years, regardless of how unconstitutional, illegal, or immoral, or bullying his actions and policies are. The presidential election of 2024 is over, and it's time to quit justifying Trump's illegal, even maniacal, actions by guiltily saying, should I have voted for Harris? I have heard that so many times. I told you I didn't vote for either one of them. I told you that. I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't voting for the lesser yen. Should I have voted for Harris? That's not the right question. The right question is, will I sit back and say nothing while the candidate I voted for uses the office of president for his own personal profit, routinely violates and mocks the U.S. Constitution along with the moral laws of God, becomes a war criminal in the strict legal definition by waging an illegal war of aggression, and thus commit mass murder against a nation that posed zero imminent threat to the safety and security of the United States? I'm going to let you read the rest of this stuff because I want to get off this topic right now and talk more about health right now.
I'm going to go into the vaccine thing in a second.
But that's Chuck Baldwin, good friend of mine. Used to do the show all the time with us live when we were on from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. But we changed our time because he's so early out in Montana, he can't do it anymore. But the reality is, listen to Chuck Baldwin. He's telling you the truth, Austin. What do you think?
Going back, yeah, no, he is. He's spot on with a lot of stuff he says. You know, over the weekend, over the beginning of this week, it's interesting. A federal judge now ruled, full ruling from the bench, that said changing the vaccine recommended shot schedule was completely illegal. Which, by the way, he has no ability to actually legally do this either, but yet he did. The American Academy of Pediatrics basically sided with him and demanded he do something about it. Said a federal judge on Monday blocked key parts of RFK Jr.'s effort to reshape the U.S. vaccine policy. U.S. District Judge Brian Murphy in Boston sided with the Academy of Pediatrics. This shows you how big this group is. Because remember, the Academy of Pediatrics gets an enormous amount of grant money back and forth with American pharmaceutical companies. It's all intertwined, and most of it's revolving door. The guys that work for Big Pharma work for the Academy of Pediatrics, and they go back and forth making sure they get more and more shots approved on the schedule. He said health regulators acted unlawfully by changing the number of shots on the childhood shot schedule. Listen to how nuts this is. He says the judge was appointed by Democratic President Joe Biden, has earned the scorn of President Donald Trump and his allies for repeatedly blocking administration initiatives that then later on get overturned, by the way. He just arbitrarily changes stuff. Says, this is illegal. You can't do this. It has no backing, no precedent to it. Said they argued, listen to this, the CDC acted unlawfully on January 5th to cut the number of routinely recommended childhood vaccines to 11 and downgraded immunization recommendations for 6 other diseases. They acted unlawfully. That's his stance on it. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, that was able to prove anything they wanted, including people wearing mask mandates, people getting COVID shot mandates. Now, somehow they acted illegal now. Not anything else they did, but because they decided to drop the routine childhood shot schedule because they showed that they were having significant problems with it. They said they also challenged Kennedy's decision last year to remove and replace all 17 independent experts who served on the advisory committee practices. Now, what's crazy about this is this judge had no precedent to do this whatsoever. And what's crazy is as long as the CDC is pushing shots, adding more shots to the shot schedule, unilaterally acting in their own agency and saying, you've got to wear masks, you've got to do this is a mandate, no judge contradicted that at all back then. Now suddenly they go in and say, these shots aren't necessary. These shots are causing health problems. These shots are linked to autism. We need to rethink our entire childhood shot schedule. Judge says, nope. Can't do it. I'm ruling this is illegal. You're not allowed to change anything on the shot schedule, even though you're the ones that put the shot schedule together and you're allegedly the Center for Disease Control. You can't do this because I deemed it so.
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
January the 6th, 2026, Murphy denied the government's motion to dismiss a case brought by the American Academy of Pediatrics, yep, and other medical organizations, by the way, controlled by the 17 Kabbalists, against the United States Department of Health and Human Services and Second Senator Robert F. Kennedy, challenging Kennedy's changes to vaccine recommendations and his dismissal and replacement, listen, of sitting members of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. Murphy held that plaintiffs had legal standing to pursue their challenges, allowing discovery to afford. On March the 16th, Murphy granted an injunction and stayed the January 2026 revision to the CDC's childhood immunization schedule, as well as staying the appointments of all 13 ACIP members and all votes taken by them. In other words, that committee that
Kennedy put it back in.
No, they're done. They're out. Now, at this point, he's staying, so they cannot basically say anything about what they're doing now as far as it's not legal anymore, he's saying.
So he's dissolving all their decisions.
Well, you got to remember, the American Academy of Pediatrics is Kabbalist run.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let you know that. As is Hollywood, as is the media, as are most podcasts, I will mention that to you. They are. How many podcasts talk about the stuff we talk about? 1%? 2%? Even some of the ones that you listen to are Zionists promoting Israel. I mean, I heard Alex Jones one time say that he was a Zionist. Now, whether he still is or not, I don't know. But he sure is coming after Candace Owens. I mean, I don't understand that. I mentioned that to you a few weeks ago. I don't know why he's doing that. I have no idea. I mean, but, you know, Candace Owens is basically telling you the truth about Charlie Kirk, about most of it, I believe, about what she's saying about Erica Kirk and all the rest. And since Candace Owens is like a lightning rod right now, you know, and so is Tucker Carlson, who's now saying the FBI and CIA are investigating him for possible arrest.
That interview he did over in Israel, he is catching some flack for.
He got detained.
Yeah.
He got
with Huckabee.
Yeah. And you know, and the problem with it is, you know, and you know, and you know, and Chuck Baldwin had a very interesting column. I'll read you part of this too. And I was reading it this morning. And it was talking about Huckabee and who Huckabee really, really is. And here's what he said. He goes, Mike Huckabee, a disgrace to our country, a disgrace to the Constitution, and a disgrace to Christ's new covenant.
Yep.
Wow. Very well said, Chuck. Former governor of Arkansas, former Baptist pastor, hardcore Zionist, and follower of the Scofield Reference Bible, Mike Huckabee is a U.S. ambassador to Israel under Donald Trump. But I know, by the way, I know Huckabee. I met him. Really nice guy. I mentioned that. The position that should be renamed, because Huckabee is not an ambassador for the United States. He's an ambassador for Israel. Like almost everyone in Trump's administration and most of the members of the U.S. Congress, Huckabee is an Israeli asset representing Benjamin Netanyahu and the Zionist regime inside of the United States. Huckabee has been a Zionist shill going back to his preaching days, and he has been a globalist-controlled insider all of his political life. Huckabee's always had a close association with the CFR. When he ran for president in 2008, the CFR president, Richard Haass, another Kabbalist, was chief political advisor on foreign affairs. Haass is one of the CFR's loudest proponents for individual nation states, including America, surrendering their national sovereignty to a global government. That would be under Israel. On January the 10th, 2008, World Debt Daily ran an expose on Huckabee's globalist predictions and quoted this author in an expose. As you read Huckabee's speech, you'll find that he is a George W. Bush on steroids. This is a man who intends to meddle in the affairs of nations around the world like you can't believe. Talk about entangling alliances. Huckabee intends for our state, energy, housing, education, justice, treasury, and transportation departments to spend untold billions of dollars on just about anything and everything, including schools, medical facilities, roads, sewage treatment, water filtration, electricity, and legal banking systems in countries all over the globe. And that is exactly what kind of man the Council of Foreign Relations wants in Washington. As I said, Huckabee has been a Zionist going back to his preaching days. And yes, globalism and Zionism go hand in hand because they came together with the same group with Theodore Herzl over 100 years ago. It's hard to separate one from the other, from economic policies to intelligence policies to military policies to the Mossad, I'm adding this, blackmailing our elected officials with Jeffrey Epstein, who work for Mossad, policies to educate, to policies to domestic policies to foreign policies, and yes, religious policies. USDC takes it the lead from Tel Aviv. Right now, Ambassador Mike Huckabee makes Joseph Goebbels look like a rank amateur in the art of propaganda. Huckabee is a master. Wow. Chuck, that's a strong. I'm going to post this for you guys to read, and I recommend that you support Chuck Baldwin. He's a great guy. What's your next story, Austin? What do you think about that?
What a mess. This whole thing's turning into just such nonsense with everything. And like I said, a lot of this stuff is designed to do is to keep everybody continually distracted. It's caught to have this 20, 30, 40 ring circus going on, while at the same time, the doctors tell you to make sure you give your kids Fruit Loops and high processed milk every single day, and make sure you give them their Xanax and Adderall so they can focus in their public school.
The American Academy of Pediatrics deemed it so.
Well, that's funny because it's not funny that I was pulling up here. And it was saying that the AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, from several vaccine manufacturers, receives enormous amount of funding, including Pfizer, Moderna, Merck, and Sanofi.
And these are all owned by Blackstreet, State Street, and Vanguard.
Yeah. And what's crazy about it is when you start having stuff like this happen, you start seeing these massive conflicts of interest. And now the American Academy of Pediatrics has been having a fit the last 6 months. Because of what Kennedy's been doing, now they've got this judge on their side that basically is just arbitrarily coming in and saying, anything you do, we're stopping.
Got a story. Crazy. Got a story. You guys love stories. We get to the airport in St. Louis yesterday morning. It was 2 days ago. Two mornings ago. Yesterday afternoon. And about 10:30 was the morning. And we call up a Lyft driver.
Yeah.
Right? And what happens, like, is this Toyota Camry shows up. It's filthy. Inside's filthy. There's dirt all over the floors. Trunk's filthy.
There's still french fries in the back seat.
French fries in the back seat.
Like,
I mean, it was an absolute just pigsty.
Almost didn't take it.
Almost didn't take it. It
was that way. We had an appointment we had to make.
And what ended up happening is we start talking. So I sit in the front seat because the back seats are so uncomfortable. And I'm talking to the driver. And Ziegler said something a long time ago. He said a lot of people speak with the ignorance that's generally, with a confidence that's generally associated with ignorance. And I've never really met anybody like this driver. He had to be one of the dumbest human beings I've ever met in my whole life. But boy, he had an opinion on everything.
On everything. Some stuff didn't make sense.
His language was so bad. Every filthy word that could spew from a cesspool spewed out of his mouth the entire 30-minute drive. I finally asked him twice, will you please stop using that kind of language? Twice. It was that bad. And don't get me wrong. I don't have, my ears are, I've heard a lot of bad stuff in the bar. This guy was the worst cussing person that I've ever met in my life. And finally, I told him, I said, look, here's the deal. I'm just going to close my eyes. I want to get some rest. I've been up since, 4 o'clock. So he calmed down. He quit talking. So by the time we got to he was talking about killing people, by the way. He was talking about killing Trump. He was talking about killing everybody. He had about six people he wanted to kill. And I finally looked at him. I said, are you carrying a gun?
No, you did. You finally asked that.
Because I'm like, this guy's talking about killing a lot of people.
I'm in the back seat with the window down. So I'm getting car sick. He's such a horrible driver. It takes this back loop road, all these stop signs.
But I finally realized that this is the first person I've ever really met that was so stupid. He was pro-Trump with vaccines, anti-Trump with everything else, pro-Biden with this, he was so convoluted. And finally I said to him, I said, you know what? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk about Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, he did too.
And he looked at me kind of funny. He goes, what do you mean? I said, they ate babies.
He did.
I did.
No, he did.
I was so pissed off.
It was not a funny topic.
No.
But it was like, he finally was just like, all right, we're going to go here. You agree with all this stuff. Let's see if you support pedophiles too, basically.
No, it's so funny because it's like for a second his brain glitched.
It did. He didn't know what to say.
And I said, this is both sides of the aisle, by the way. They're all eating babies. I'm not saying every person did that, but they had babies in the freezer. And he looked at me kind of funny. Well, that was horrible. I said, and he goes, well, I'm not a Christian. I said, I didn't have nothing to do with Christianity.
No, okay to eat children?
I said, this is a nightmare. And finally, he said, well, they should have done that. Well, finally, we found a topic about not eating babies that he agreed with. And I thought to myself, this guy's just a disaster, man. So finally, the last 10 minutes, I didn't even talk to him because I couldn't anymore. I had enough. So then we get out of the car. I'm getting out of the car. I'm shaking the dust off my feet. And he goes, oh, by the way, I'm sorry if I came out too strong. I said, dude, we're good. Let me just get out of the car. I don't want him to shoot me. And he goes, well, the militant left-wing groups, the communist groups need to have guns so we could go ahead and start an insurrection.
He literally said that.
No, this was like, this guy was not, he was unhinged. And I thought to myself, I wonder what kind of meds this guy's on. And I wonder why I'm in his car with him. And what I've decided now, whenever I order Uber or Lyft, they show up filthy, full of sand. Yeah. I'm going to pass. Your car's too dirty.
And this isn't always.
It's indicative.
This isn't always the rule, but it's definitely a good thing. Because I've Ubered.
French fries in the back seat.
Yeah, when you show up and the car's a disaster and the interior's a disaster, you can pretty much expect the driver to also be a disaster. Just be real. So when you buy Uber or Lyft, sometimes the cheapest one's not always the best. Sometimes the most expensive one's not always the best.
Austin taught me that.
But sometimes you get the ones also the eco package, the cheapest one right now on sale for $20 to go 80 miles. Yeah, I'm going to save my money. It's going to be a disaster, pretty much guaranteed. So be cautious of that. And like I said, if you get one, and they marry it, if the car isn't up to par, if you don't feel safe or comfortable in the car, you can cancel without any reprisal. And you can flag them. Most of the times I've gotten Ubers are usually pretty clean. Now, we had a couple other. We had a great guy at the end. He's a Christian. He had a real nice minivan. He was super clean.
Yeah.
And drove great. Actually knew how to drive.
That was the Indian. We had an Indian guy. He was pumping the gas the whole time.
He's feathered the gas. It's 60 miles an hour. Woo, 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 woo. And I thought it was a car at first. So we asked him to stop driving like that. He stopped for about 2 minutes. Whoa, 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 back on the throttle. I'm like, oh, I'm getting sick, dude.
I had a lady one time, she was a realtor up in Gainesville, Georgia, and I remember she was driving us around, and she saw a dog like 100 yards away. No, this is not an exaggeration, 100 yards away. Length of a football field, yeah. And she slams on her brakes so the dog couldn't run in front of her. I'm not going to give you her name. Let's call her Judy. It wasn't Judy. And I said to her, I said, Judy, would you mind me for driving? Would you have a problem with that? She goes, well, no, you can drive. I said, thanks so much, as I drove around. But sometimes you get with drivers that shouldn't be Uber drivers or Lyft drivers. They should be somewhere else. And he was bragging about he was making $400 a day working with Uber.
I'm like, not in this car, you're not. No. You're not getting any tips with this thing. Oh. Anyway, I want to spin off on something real quick and close this topic. We were talking about RFK and this vaccine policy. American Academy of Pediatrics is so blazing. Look at this. If you go to their site, this is the American Academy of Pediatrics, the AAP.org. This is their page that talks about corporate organizational supporters. These are their President's Circle package to donate at least $50,000 a year or more. You guys see who's on this list right here? Abbott, Merck, Moderna, Pfizer, Sanofi, Sequarius.
Go on down some. Eli Lilly's on there too.
Oh yeah, Genentech, GlaxoSmithKline. Like, they're telling you who supports them. They're bragging about this. They're President Circle donors. They give them $50,000 or more every year as donors. And you wonder why they're fighting to make sure more shots go on the shot schedule. They have a financial interest to make sure that their donors continually make more money. It's called bribery in most worlds. In the United States, we call it lobbying because it's totally different when you rename it.
Okay, we're going to go to a cotton candy story because enough of this negative stuff. Trump throws his weight behind Mark Levin as scorched earth war of words between two Fox icons tear MAGA media apart. This is so funny. I know Mark Levin, and I was on his show for about 20 seconds. He's an unbelievable jerk as far as I'm concerned. And so I've got nothing good to say about him. He cut me loose after 20 seconds because I started talking about top 10 foods never to eat and how to lower your blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar without drugs. I was gone that fast. Two prominent figures in conservative media, former Fox News host Megyn Kelly and Mark Levin, exploded into extraordinary public feud over the weekend, unleashing a torrent of personal insults because that threw in President Trump, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and even pencil neck Ben Shapiro, who nobody likes. The incident ignited the weekend's fireworks, traces back to a post Kelly shared from a drop site news from Ryan Grimm. So, you know, he said that she was evil for doing the post. Poor Megyn Kelly, an emotionally unhinged, lewd, and petulant wreck, Levin wrote. It's always nice when they say negative stuff like that. She's completely revealed and destroyed herself. She's everything people say she is, but much worse. Never an intelligent, thoughtful, or substantive comment. Utterly toxic. I don't agree with that. Now, I don't agree with everything she says, but she got some good judgment. She's pretty sharp. Kelly refused to stand down, returning to X on Sunday and comparing Levin's posting habits to that of stalkers with which she's dealt personally. This, she says, now this is her quote. Don't get mad at me. Micro penis, Mark.
Gosh.
Really? I don't think HGH stimulate would probably help that, Austin. That's a problem, you know? Micro penis, Mark thinks he has the monopoly on lewd, Kelly wrote. He tweets about me obsessively in the crudest, nastiest terms possible, literally more than some home stalkers that I've had arrested. He doesn't like it when women like me fight back because of his micro penis.
Wow.
Now, you know, I got to say something now. My coverage of, you know, cotton candy shows and cotton candy news stories has come to a new low with this. This is bad as it
pretty gets. Ridiculous. I actually have a cotton candy one that's actually pretty cool.
But the point is I mean, is this where we're going to now? Because he disagrees with her. Now they're going to talk about body appendages and parts and lewd behavior. I mean, it's pretty.
Reminds me a lot of Trump's behavior. That's what it is. Like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, yeah. She calls out his involvement with Israel and Epstein with Mossad, and suddenly he gives this like 3-page tweet. And I don't know why he's got to use caps low. And he tries to cap this stuff out. He writes like a toddler. I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, when you read his tweets, the platform on it is like a 5-year-old's angry and he got a hold of a phone. It's really bizarre from a U.S. sitting president to write like that. Well, and I'm not picking on him because of that. I'm picking on him because it's the president of the United States who really needs to learn how to write.
John Whitehead had a comment about this. Let me read it real quick. I'll hit you one jump on your story. Okay, when you're a star, this is his quote, they let you do anything. You can do anything. You grab them by their P word, okay? This is talking about what you do to women. And you can do anything, Donald Trump, on seizing women access Hollywood 2005. I think you can do anything I want with it, with Cuba. I can free it. I can take it. I think I can do anything I want with it. Donald Trump on seizing Cuba 2026. It's been 20 years since Donald Trump bragged that as a star, you can do anything, even assault women and get away with it. 2 decades later, what was once a crude bravado has become a governing philosophy. Exactly what you just said, Austin. Mike, I talked about this last week. Mike makes power. Power excuses everything, and accountability is for other people, not for the president. Despite the Access Hollywood recording and everything is revealed about his character, Trump was elected to the White House twice, and ever since, he has governed exactly as he promised, as a man who believes he is unaccountable, entitled, and free to act without limits, including with the Epstein files. The same mindset once bragged about being able to stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters has now been scaled up and weaponized through the presidency. With a core of MAGA following that seems unwilling to hold him accountable for anything, Trump has justifiably earned his nickname Teflon Don. He can be accused of sexually assaulting young girls, doesn't lose any voters. He can basically bomb girls' rooms, school in Iran, killing young girls, mothers, and teachers. That's okay. He can torpedo a thriving economy. He can dismantle a government structure that's been in place for 200 years. He can contradiction of everything Christians claim to stand for. He won't lose any voters. And he can send America's service of women to die in wars in the U.S. had no business to be in, and he won't lose any voters. This is the mindset now shaping America's policy and the bullying of the bipedal population of the planet by Donald Trump. He's a bully. And I'm going to let you read the rest of this stuff. I'll let you get it yourself. But the reality is, he's right. And I told you, I hate bullies. I can't stand it. I mean, I've watched Austin. He didn't like him either. And the sad part about it is we're supposed to be a constitutional republic, Austin.
That's exactly right.
And nobody has the right to start talking about people, especially with the president. So look what we did to Marjorie Taylor Greene. She told the truth.
Well, here's my pet peeve that's starting to become a very, very, very clear topic. Certain individuals now have full unaccountability to do anything they want, say who they want, contradict themselves, continue to put down who they want, threaten who they want. Yet we talk about one significant Middle Eastern country that does certain things and has evolved in certain things. Suddenly you're blacklisted on the entire social media platform. Suddenly you're black banned. Suddenly you're in Facebook jail. Suddenly you lose all your accounts. Seen it, done it, been around it. But other groups can say anything they want at any point in time, and there's no repercussions whatsoever. That's not a republic anymore. That's called a dictatorship.
That's exactly right.
It's what it is. That is one of the primary basis of the forming of the United States Constitution,
King George.
The Bill of Rights, because nobody could talk about King George. Mm. You said King George was a fat sack of lard. They showed up at your house, hung you from the bridge.
He says right here, the same might makes right mindset has transformed the American president into something that tracks more closely with the abuses of King George III.
There you go.
Than with the revolutionary forebears who risked their lives and fortunes to stand against tyranny. Our founders did not just fight the war, they fought a mindset. They stood against a king who thought his word was law and was God. And guys, he's right. And so why in the world do we think this is crazy? Trump wanted Venezuelan oil, so he seized the military to get it. The tactics, swaggering, arrogant, always prepared to browbeat, mow down anyone and anyone in his way, have become too familiar. Trump wants a new ballroom, tear the old one down. Trump wants to be in charge of global peace, seize the U.S. Institute of Peace. Trump wants to prove his economic prowess, levy tariffs. Trump wants to be seen as one who solved Iran, launch a preemptive strike. Anything he wants.
Yeah.
This is dictatorship.
Well, and like I said, what happened with Marjorie Taylor Greene? She gets on Megyn Kelly, says, I've seen the files with Epstein involvement with Mossad. He's directly involving blackmail in Congress. I voted, and one other person's voted to have this stuff released. Nobody wants to release it. Suddenly, she gets eviscerated on tweets from basically Trump. I mean, calling her all these different
names. To the point that she resigns.
So she resigns. I'm not going to be a battered woman. I'm not going to be talked about like this in president from a sitting president who I helped support to get elected. And she was absolutely right about that. But that shows you the level of control that's happening now as far as with free speech.
But vulgarity is not honesty. Cruelty is not strength. And abuse of power is not leadership.
That's well said.
Whitehead's right. Yeah, yeah. Read this. It's a good article.
This is the last article I'm going to cover. This is a health topic because we just went into detail on it last week. And once again, I'm spot on. I told you guys the American Heart Association was going to do this again. They're now dropping the recommended age for statins to 30 years old. 30.
Unbelievable.
30. Mm-hmm. Cardiac group lowers recommended age for starting statins. American Heart Association and other groups have issued new guidelines to prevent health problems. God forbid we actually look at what's in our food supply and our diet.
Like Kennedy's trying to do.
I mean, golly, imagine that.
Oh, the Uber driver wanted Kennedy killed, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because of measles vaccine.
Yeah, because of measles. It didn't make any sense.
About he wanted everybody killed.
Yeah.
Nutbag.
Some people as young as 30 years old now should begin taking statins. Cardiology groups have now sent an update. The American Heart Association said other groups that doctors should use a new calculator that they've developed, a predicting risk of cardiovascular disease event to assess the risk. Yep. It says basically all the way down from patients 30 years old. Listen to this. This is how they deem it now with AI. If a patient is deemed by this AI algorithm to have a high enough risk number to develop a cardiovascular disease within the next 10 years, they need to start on statins immediately. 10 years. You're going to have heart disease in 10 years based on our algorithm. You're going to die.
Take statins for 37 years. Studies have
Why?
Shown you live for 3 years, three days longer.
AI models deemed it so. Okay, I guess I don't want to die in 10 years. Mm-hmm. You're 30 years old, son. You start on statins. I told you I was with my friends in Orlando the other day, and his girl asked me, my real good friend, she's like 32 years old, super healthy, athletic, eats beef and butter and eggs all the time. She goes, yeah, my cholesterol's at like 220, and I filled a prescription. I didn't really know much about it. She goes, doctor said I need to start statins immediately. I said, how old are you? I'm 32. I said, you're incredible shape. You eat super clean. Every time we're out, you like fish and rice. She goes, I know. She goes, but he said, my cholesterol's too high at 220. I need to take on statins immediately. I said, my recommendation, I'm not giving you medical advice. If I was you in your position, I would throw this in the trash. I said, I wouldn't consider taking that crap. I said, I have no idea why in the world they want to give you those. Oh, wait, I do. Because statin drugs cause all the side effects that they're manufacturing new drugs for to treat. It's a revolving circle to keep you in that medical model industrial complex to make sure you stay sicker and sicker. This is why if you look, we have things like cod liver oil. We got the Ultra Omegas. We got the Himalaya. By the way, the Himalaya is an incredibly good one if you're really concerned about your cholesterol. And that is basically the omega-3 phospholipid sustainable Antarctic krill. This product is insane how good it works at maintaining healthy lipid levels naturally and really, really well as far as cardiovascular health. So if you're concerned about this, make sure you're taking omega-3 fatty acids. Make sure you're eating clean. You don't have a deficiency in statin drugs. The Himalaya is one of the best-selling formulas we have as far as a low-dose omega-3 phospholipid that will absolutely support healthy cholesterol level. The second thing, do some research before you start allowing a doctor who's bought and paid for by the Academy of basically cardiologists that's telling you at 30 years old now you need to go on statins because your cholesterol is at 205. And you're super lean, you're in good shape, you exercise, you eat clean all the time. They want to put you on statins. Every single time, without fail, that I've had healthy adults come in the office, talk to them on the phone, talk to them via email, that have gone on statins, invariably they always have a host of side effects, including loss of mental acuity, brain fog, loss of muscle mass, loss of sex drive, all types of health problems within months of going on that drug.
Well, it also keeps people reproducing. Revelation 18:23, by sorcery, pharmakia, all nations were basically deceived. As we explore the concept of pharmakia, we see it represented a form of sorcery or witchcraft in the Bible. The term is derived from the witch word pharmakon, which refers to drugs or medication, holds negative connotations and invites us to reflect on our choices. As the lamp shine will no more at all in you, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard of you anymore. For the merchants of the earth, for by sorcery, pharmakia, all nations were deceived. Revelation 18:23. Now, I mean, they're talking about Sabbatine Cabal, Lucifer, and Synagogue.
Pharmakia.
That's how they drug you. And they want, see, statins drug you into a stupor. You can't think.
They do.
So, by the way, a lot of blood pressure medications drug you to the point where you're diagnosed with senile dementia and Alzheimer's disease. There's a whole bunch of medications that blow out your brain. Just thought I'd mention that if you're over the age of 50. You need to look it up real quick and find out memory loss or senile dementia associated with this drug, and you will find many of them, probably 90% of all those drugs for high blood pressure, for depression, all of them are being used, and they blow out your brain. You can no longer think. I saw it happen to my own mother.
Yeah, and then now they've come out with multiple Alzheimer's and dementia pharmaceutical drugs now to put you on those drugs caused by the side effects of the other drugs. It's a stair-step model, guys. Understand the big picture, how they do it. I don't make this up. Mm-hmm. I have no bone to pick in this to lie to you about it. It's blatant research. Do your research. They tell you what the side effects are on these drugs, my friends. So the best option, keep your body healthy, keep your mind healthy, keep your kids healthy by all means, because you are raising little Americans. It is your duty to raise them properly. It is your duty to raise them correctly, and it is your duty to raise them healthy. So keep strong, my friends. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. A lot of products on sale right now for product of the week that you can take, that you feel great, feel better, feel healthy with zero side effects.
Help support health.
Imagine that concept, dude. You don't have to feel like you're on death's door for the next 40 years. Because remember, you're sick, and you want to lay on the couch, and you have no energy, and you got brain fog, you sure as heck aren't going to put up any type of resistance to anything.
Optimal nutrition through supplementation and proper dietary choices is a concept whose time has come through Health Masters, period.
Period. Well said.
It's that time. And keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. Thank you for your support. If it wasn't for you guys supporting us, we wouldn't be here.
Nope.
I love you guys. And I'm glad you guys got to do a couple of reruns with us yesterday and the day before. And we tried out to do that, but we had that appointment in St. Louis, so we had to do it. So I love you guys, and I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You guys have a great evening. Talk to you tomorrow.